Welcome to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga, a teaching ministry where believers are trained to be established in the truth of God's Word. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.thepastormax.ng.
Let's pray and let's get started. Father, thank you because I'm anointed to teach. Thank you because your people are anointed to receive. And together our faith is built up in the knowledge of the person of Jesus. I pray that light and understanding, signs, wonders and miracles will take place at the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name, say a good amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to start the series and we're probably going to go through, actually, I'm seeing how the Lord will lead us. I might have to cut it short at a point because I want to do something in June, but we'll see how the Lord leads us on the God kind of love. The God kind of love. So today I want to lay an introduction and then subsequently I'm going to pick it up from here. So love is a common word in our society. Love is a very common word in our society. We say it all the time, all right? We either say it to people or we say it to things, okay? So some of us are quick to say, I love you. And some say, I love my car. Some say, I love my hair. So you'd always find that word, love, always said either to people or used for inanimate objects. That's things that you have. And then it's important that we define what love is, first of all. Then secondly, it's also important that we understand the God kind of love. Okay, so today we're going to lay the foundation on defining the word love, the types of love that we have, that we can find in scriptures. And then we will try to see how we can zero in on the God kind of love. Then we are going to pick up from there. So in the Bible, there are four unique forms of love that you find in the scripture. Now, it's important because we're going to use the Greek words for them. But it's important you understand that not all of them are found in the Bible the way we are going to explain it. But you can find the type of love, the four types of love, in the scriptures, but you will not necessarily find the Greek word for them in scripture. So you would understand as I go further. So there are four unique forms of love that are found in scripture, and they're communicated through four Greek words. One of the persons who actually made this very popular is the man by the name C.S. Lewis, who wrote Mere Christianity. All right. So there are four Greek words used to describe what you would call love. And why it's important for us to have this foundation is because our emphasis is the God kind of love. So if we say the God kind of love, it then means there are other type of love. Do we agree? Or we could have just said we're studying love, right? Do you agree with that? Yeah, you could just, I mean, you know, it happens a lot when ladies send you to the market, especially your wife, right? It should actually be only your wife sending you to the market, except you run a logistic company. But then they'll just tell you, buy soap. And that will be your mistake. Because when you go there, you are going to realize that soap has all kinds, right? And they say, buy this particular soap. Then they say, check for this particular gram. That's why you know why it takes a lot of time to get things. You know, but for a man, he just goes there and he can even pick the one that has his favorite color. I like green. Then he sees a soap with green cover without even finding out if that soap would foam or not. So it's the same thing with love. We could just say we're studying love, but if we zero in on the God kind of love, it means that there is a characteristic of this love that we want to study, and it now becomes how we check our love life. Okay? So the first word is the word eros. Eros. E-R-O-S. E-R-O-S. The first word that you would find is eros. That's from where you get the word erotic, or what you would call romantic love. This is the love that is almost everywhere. Everywhere you turn, this is the one everybody is talking about. So eros is a Greek word for sensual or romantic love. Actually, the term eros originated from a Greek mythology, which is the god of, you know, the god of love, sexual desire. This is built on physical attraction, physical love. Okay? So the god Eros had a mate called Cupid. Remember, I told you that as Christianity was developing, there was the mixture of all of these things in. So there was this strong Roman influence there. So you would not find this specific word used in the New Testament, but you would find a form of it. So that's important. You might not find the word used specifically in the New Testament, but you'll find a form of it. So love in the form of eros seeks its own interest and satisfaction. All right? To possess the object of love. Now, God is very clear in the scriptures that this eros or romantic love should be within the boundaries of marriage. So God is not against it, but it should be within a context. Should be within the boundaries of marriage. Okay? So, erotic love should be practiced within the boundaries of marriage. There was all kinds of promiscuity, all types of, you know, sexual stuff going on with the Greek culture. And this was one of the obstacles that Apostle Paul had to battle while planting churches in Eastern Mediterranean. Paul warned young believers against this. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 8, like I said. We want to find the form of it, and it's important that you understand. So when someone says I love you, it's you know, don't ask them which one, you know, but you want to by their actions find out how that is. So 1 Corinthians, come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we want to read verse 8. I want to show you one of the characteristics of this kind of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 8 to 9. It says, but it was talking about getting married. But I say to the unmarried and to widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I. That he was talking about remaining single. Okay? But if they do not have self-control, praise God, let them marry. Then he says, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So you find the word burn there. That's one of the characteristics of this erotic love. It burns. It burns. And if you don't have self-control, before you know, you've set the forest on fire. And by the time you're done, you're seeing ashes all over. So it burns. That's one of the signs, you know, because when we start dealing with the God kind of love, you would realize the Bible says that the God kind of love is patient. But this one is not patient. It burns. All right? And that's why if you're single and you are going out with someone that you want to get married to, you want to check if they've got that self-control. Now, that's important. That's very important because this kind of love burns. And I would say this in very clear terms. As a single girl, if anyone tells you that you can, the way you prove your love for me is by allowing me sleep with you, that's not love. And that's not true. And you also don't use your sexuality as a proof of love. That's not the receipt that you issue as a down payment that somebody's going to get married to you. Paul says that if you cannot control yourself, then you marry, which tells us that this burning of this erotic love within the context of marriage is valid, but outside of the context of marriage, it's not valid. So, Songs of Solomon describes very awesome types of love. In fact, some Jewish rabbis advise that young people do not read Songs of Solomon until they have matured, because you see all kinds of stuff there. So, but within the boundary of marriage, Eros is to be celebrated and enjoyed as a beautiful blessing from God. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18. So this is the first kind of love we're dealing with. Okay? And this is the kind of love that is shown in movies. This is the one you see everywhere. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 18 says, let your fountain be blessed. It says, and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hand and a graceful door, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. That means be captured always with her love. All right? So it shows us how this love works. It bonds. It's very emotional. It's very sensual. It's very physical. Right? And sometimes it can be selfish, because it's just about what you see and what you want. So this is the first kind of love. But you could see that this is appropriate within the context of marriage. Okay, Hebrews 13:4, you can write that down. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Let's read that. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. You see Paul's writing there again. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So there was the context of that. 1 Corinthians 7:5 and Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9. So within the context, praise God, within the context of marriage, this love is appropriate. But outside of the context of marriage, it's not appropriate. That's why if you read my book, Love, Lust, and Lies, I talked about it when you read the story of Tamar and, you know, how the brother, you know, raped her. You know, the scripture says, the story started with the fact that he loved her and wanted and was actually getting sick because of her. This erotic love makes you sick. Shouldn't be, but makes you sick. So, that's why I tell you, never believe anyone that says, I cannot sleep without you. That's not true. It's a romantic line. I know you want to believe it, but it's not true. Because after they have told you that, if you call them by 12 o'clock, they will not pick. Because the very thing they said they cannot do without you, they've done it. They've slept. Okay? So, yeah. But the young man said, you know, I want this girl. And the girl said, hey, you know, my father will not deprive me from you. Go through the proper means. And then he didn't. And, you know, got this girl to cook for him. And he says, I want to eat from your hands. You know, he has that shrewd friend who advised him. Say, I want to eat from your hand. So, long and short of the story, raped the girl. And if you read that, and if you're young, read that book, Love, Lust, and Lies, it'll help you. And you know what happened at the end? The scripture says the hatred with which he hated her was what? Was much more than the love that he had at the beginning. That thing was just one chapter. So the question is, where did the love go? Because it was selfish. It was selfish. So the concept of love, that's why we're talking about the God kind of love, and I'll deal with that as we progress. One of the characteristics of the God kind of love is that it's patient. But one of the characteristics of this love is it's not, because it bonds. It's not patient. It's bonds. It's sensual. It's, You're almost in a hurry. And that's why when Paul was referring to this, one of the words he used was self-control. Praise God. Are you still here? Say amen if you're here. Okay. Then the next love is, you know, they pronounce it two ways. Either some people pronounce it as storge, some people pronounce it as storge love. So it's S-T-O-R-G-E. S-T-O-R-G-E. That's the second kind of love. So it's a term used for love in the Bible that we might not be very familiar with. So the Greek word describes family love, storge, okay? S-T-O-R-G-E. Family love. The affectionate bond that develops naturally between parents and children, brothers and sisters. Okay? Between parents, brothers and sisters. We find the kind of love that brothers and sisters have for each other. All right. Now, go to Romans 12:10. Two compound words were used for this love. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Interestingly, Paul uses it, and in some translation is even used as devotion. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Look at it. It says, be devoted to one another, all right, in brotherly love. So he uses this as brotherly love. Brotherly love. It's a compound word that Paul uses here called philostorgos. Philostorgos. Now we're going to talk about philo love, which is used within the concept of the Christian faith. But this is love that is found between family. It actually, Paul says we should be devoted to one another with this type of love. Now, another situation you can find is blood brothers, right? You can find this within, you know, blood brothers, Noah and his family. Okay? Noah and his family, Genesis chapter 6, all up until Genesis chapter 9, that whole relationship. You can also find this between the siblings Mary, Martha, and Lazarus of Bethany, which is Luke chapter 10 and John chapter 11. So like I said, you might not be able to find the word directly, but you can find a situation that describes it. But you also understand that this brotherly love has its own limitation. Because we've got Cain and Abel, praise God, they ought to be, good people, brothers, at least, early brothers. But what happened? That love also turned to hatred, and who killed who now? Cain killed Abel. So you realize that one of the reasons why we're studying the God kind of love is that all these other forms of love actually have their limitations. And that's important. Because if you are operating in any of this kind of love and it's not the God kind of love, it can fail. So the Bible says love does not fail. The question is, what kind of love? Because we've looked at the first kind of love, which is eros, and we found out that someone who was so passionate about, you know, getting into a lady in the scriptures finally did that, and that turned to hatred. Now we've looked at this love which should exist between brothers, and we realize a particular brother killed his own brother, even when the brother didn't do anything to him. Because I mean, it was God that accepted the sacrifices. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if we don't understand this God kind of love, you could love someone today and tomorrow something happens and that turns into hatred, because it's not the God kind of love. So when we throw the word around, it's important for us to understand what kind of love are we operating in and what kind of love are we talking about. Because all of the love outside the love, the God kind of love, has its own limitation. Okay, so the third kind of love is, hold on a bit. In the New Testament, this word "scourge" is used in the negative. Okay, so there are scriptures where you find it in the negative term, like it was turned upside down, right? Like in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, you find the word unloving. Unloving. You know, that word unloving is the Greek word astugio. Okay, then you would also find a similar term in Romans 1:31 when it says without natural affection. Without natural affection. Romans chapter 1 verse 31, please. Go to Romans 1:31. Let me just show you something there. Where this term was used in the negative term. It says without understanding, untrustworthy. The NASB says unloving. Or some translation says without natural affection in the King James Version. Or the NIV says and no love. Okay? This is almost like the opposite of that natural love. So it's important for us to understand, and that's why I'm taking my time to go through all of this, because if you understand this, you will realize that if your life is just based on all of this natural love, it will be limited. I mean, you've seen families torn apart, you've seen families quarrel, you've seen families on each other's neck. You know, there are people who say, well, in my family, we're very united. Oh, I love my brother. Oh, one blood. Oh, blood is thicker than water. Blood is family. And they say all those kind of things until their father dies and leave 2-3 houses for them. And then what happened? Problem starts. Each guy is fighting for his own because that selfishness has come in again. And trouble starts. And people start fighting over things. I know a particular family, was mentioned by the Archbishop Duncan Williams in Ghana, that have been on a court case over their father's property for over 35 years. The property they are fighting over is getting bad. And they're still fighting over it. And if you go to that property they are fighting over, you see a big frame of them, all of them wearing uncle and smiling. What happened? So you realize that each of these have their limitation, and that's why we want to study the God kind of love. And that's why it's important to understand how the God kind of love operates. Then the third one is what you call philia or philio. Some people use the word philio, some people use the word philia. P-H-I-L-I-A. Okay? So philia originates from the Greek word philos, meaning beloved or a dear friend, someone dearly beloved or prized in a personal way. Someone that's dearly beloved or prized in a personal way. Philia or philio. That's where you get the word philadelphia from, city of love. So philia originates from the Greek term philos, a noun meaning beloved, a dear friend, someone dearly beloved, or prized in a personal way, intimate way, or trusted confidant, held in a close bond of personal affection. This love, it's not just between natural brothers. It's not just the love between father and son or parents. Or this is when you hold someone as a prized possession. Not a good word because I've seen, but not like it's a bad word. But I've seen people use the word bestie or bestia. I don't know, however they pronounce that for someone. But I've also seen people like that turn enemies. Say, is this your bestie? Say, no, that was 5 years ago. Okay, but it's almost like what describes it. This person is held in a personal, prized way. Okay? And Jesus speaks about this. Within the Christian community, this is the love that the scripture talks about a lot. It encompasses love for fellow humans. It speaks of care. It speaks of respect, compassion for people in need. So this is really the concept of the brotherly love that unites believers in a unique way that's unique to Christianity. And you can find this in scripture. This is the kind of love that separates us, that should separate us from others. In John chapter 13 and verse 35, the NIV version, the Bible says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Which means our concepts, or rather, one of the things that identifies us to the world as Christians is how we love one another. Praise God. I said praise God. And that's important. You know, but the challenge we have is everybody wants to define love in their own terms, right? So if you do something that I like, you're working in love. And if you don't do what I like, you're not working in love. And that's a problem. For instance, let me give you a typical example. How many of us know that children love ice cream? Okay. Now, do you think you will be a loving parent if you buy ice cream for... Okay, for those of you who's got kids, how many times do you think your kids can lick ice cream in a day? Right? Let's say they can lick ice cream 3 times a day. Are you here? How many of you agree with me? Okay, now, would you be a loving parent if you give your kids ice cream 3 times a day because you just want to love them? But will that child agree that you don't love them if you don't give them ice cream 3 times a day? They'll think you don't love them, right? Because to them, the definition of if my father loves me, what should my father do? Give me ice cream 3 times a day. You know, sometimes when people say there's no love in the church, the problem is that there's no love in the church. That's not the problem. The problem is what they call love is their own definition of love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you here? Can I give you an example? Someone says, nobody said that. Just give you an example. Someone says, there is no love in this church. And you say, why is there no love in this church? They said, oh, nobody came to check me. I was not in church and nobody cared to check me. Okay, we're sorry about that. And you ask that one person, there have been many people who have not been coming to church in the last 1 year that you're a member of this church. Who have you checked? What are they going to tell you? Nobody. So if you don't have the time to check someone else, why do you think, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but why do you think someone else will have the time to check on you? You know what you're doing? You're being selfish because you want the whole church to serve you, but you don't want to serve anyone. But how many of you know that if you constantly check on people and you're not in church, the people you check on will do what? They'll check on you. And that's why I keep telling people that your telephone works both ways. Your telephone was not just designed to receive calls alone. It actually makes calls out. And that's why if I call you, and don't try it, but if I call you and the first words that come out of your mouth is, you're forgotten me, long time, I've not heard from you, that conversation is not going to last 2 minutes. Because if you know that I've forgotten you, it also means that you have forgotten me. Because if I forgot you and you remembered, you should have called. There is no use making people feel guilty for not keeping in touch with you when you didn't do the same thing. It's selfishness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's selfishness. So what I'm trying to say is, there is a kind of love that should be found within the Christian community that shows discipleship, that shows that we're disciples of Jesus. And that's what we really want to deal with, because what we find out a lot in our world is there's a lot of conversation about romantic love and all this kind of love, and we have this expression of love that is just very sensual. But the scripture tells us to practice the God kind of love. And we're going to get there. Alright. Hebrews 13 verse 1 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Okay. Keep on. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Let the love of the brethren continue. Let it not stop. You love the brethren. And I'll tell you something, right? Do you know if your brother is doing something that's not right? Okay. And you walk up to them and say, hey, brother, you shouldn't do this. I don't think you should do this. What's going to happen? Then they are going to throw do not judge me banner up. But you know, it's actually law for us to warn you from danger. I use the picture of a child again. If you decide your child is going to eat vegetables, it's going to eat good food, the children will be so annoyed with you. But you actually love them. Because if they eat ice cream all the days of their life, by the time they are 13, I don't know what's going to happen to them. What am I saying tonight? Love also means that we can tell you, hey, you're wrong or you can't do that. Love doesn't just mean that. And this is true because we have built a Christian community where we tiptoe around each other. A brother can be misbehaving and nobody wants to talk to them. Because you talk to them, they change churches. Or you talk to them, then they avoid you. Okay? Just give a typical example. Maybe someone comes to church and something is wrong and you call the person and say, hey, I don't think you should do this. The next time, just watch. When they see you coming, they'll go somewhere else. And what are they going to see? That person talks too much. We don't like correction. Because we don't see correction as a proof of love. What do we think love is? Accept people the way they are, which we should. But if we accept you the way you are, you don't have to remain the way you are. You ought to grow. And you know, if you don't have this understanding, it can also affect you in your marriage life. Because there might be things you're doing and your spouse is not comfortable with and speaks to you about it, but you're too petty to accept correction. You know, some children that before you start correcting them, they start crying. And then what's happening? It's tactics. Right? You now leave the correction and try solving the cry problem. So, the Bible says, keep on loving one another. This was the word used then. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. This is the filial love. Be devoted to one another in love. You see, when we have a proper understanding of this love, it will push us to intercession if a brother is missing it. It pushes us to intercession. Pushes us to prayers for the person. Praise God. Pushes us to prayers. This is how we bear one another's burden. Let me tell you, if you don't have someone in your life that can offer you correction, you need to pray that God will bring such people in your life. Some people have never been corrected. Nobody has ever corrected them. Everything they do is correct. And I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes your friends don't tell you the truth. You know why? Because they are afraid of losing friendship. If you think your friends are telling you the truth, I doubt it. Because we've built a society where we value relationship more than hearing the truth. And I can, if we say, everybody close your eyes now, and I take an altar call of people you know in your life who are not working right, that you should tell the truth and you haven't told them because you just want to maintain that relationship, every one of us have those people. And you know the interesting thing? They'll tell someone else. Say, the way this person is going, say, I cannot tell him more. I cannot tell him more. So even the way you are saying, I cannot tell him more, they are also saying to you, do you understand? Or you don't? Do you get me? They are also telling others that they cannot tell you. So two of you, when you come publicly, you are just laughing. Both of you know the things you can't tell each other. Your friends would hardly tell you the truth because they don't want to lose friendship. That's why you must have someone who is older than you, a mentor, somebody you're accountable to, who has nothing to lose and can tell you the truth. And that's important. Because love means you're able to hear the truth. The Bible says, speaking the truth in what? In love. Which means within the context of love, there must be the speaking of the truth. Are you following this now? So if you just build your life around, yes, people who just enjoy you, not a problem. Not a problem. And if there's something you must learn in this life, learn to take corrections with the right attitude. Know that, you see, You see, if someone singles you out for correction, it's actually because they love you. Because people can actually watch you do what is not right and just watch you. And you know how we came to this place, why it was difficult. I've said it before that most of the problems we have in churches started from the home. You know why we came to this place, why it's difficult to correct people in churches. And I speak to you as a pastor. Why it's difficult to correct people, right? Today in church? Because we built a society where we can no longer give correction. How many of you growing up remember if you were doing something wrong and somebody saw you, they can flog you on behalf of your father and bring you, right? How many of you remember that? How many of you, because I was beaten by several people in absentia. they beat me a lot. Huh? Okay. Then, I mean, sometimes you know those who can beat you. So even when you see them coming, you don't have the boldness to continue your evil. Huh? I had one very interesting incident I remember. It's not a good one, but I just remembered it now. There was this person who had, you know, shared a bit of, she wasn't walking straight, you know, in our street. So I don't know that this man was seeing me from behind. So the girl was walking, you know, she used to walk crooked a bit. So I was mimicking her behind. You know, this man came and, you know, whacked me from the back. You know, but I couldn't report at home that this is what the man did. Because if I had reported, what the man gave me was 10% of what I received. So, you know, I just ensured I cried all through, finished all my crying, wiped my tears, and went home. But I don't think if it was today, that man would do that. But you see, my parents will never know that I did that. So they will never correct me for it. But the fact that that man corrected me, I knew it was wrong. Of course, I didn't do it again. But you see, it was because the society allowed for what we call mutual correction. So I'll give you an example. In churches today, we don't have mutual correction. We can be in church as a church family and somebody's life is just getting destroyed and everybody just keeps quiet and talks about it and just talks about it and just talks about it. And nobody's working to that person. And you know why it's interesting? Because even as a pastor, most times I may not know what's going on in the congregation because I don't have that relationship. I don't get on the bus with you guys. Are you following what I'm saying? I don't go to wherever you people go to hang out with you guys. So most times, people know what's going on in the lives of the congregation even more than the pastor. I mean, imagine if God wants to show me everything that's going on in your life. That's over 250 people. I will not sleep at night. Are you following what I'm saying? So if we're building a community, a family community in this church, we must open ourselves up to mutual correction. We must hold ourselves accountable. All right. And that's important. Okay. The kind of love is the one David and Jonathan had. 1 Samuel chapter 18. He says he loved him as his soul. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Read the whole chapter. You remember the love between David and Jonathan? It was an interesting kind of love. Hold on. Go back to Romans 12:10. Do you see what the Bible says there? It says, be devoted to one another in love. Then it says, honor one another above yourselves. Okay? It says, honor one another above yourselves. Then, do you realize that Jonathan realized that David was to be king? Guess what he did? He supported David to be king. This is the love we're talking about. How many of us would support others that we know God had? No, now, that's interesting because he was to be the king in the natural. This was the king's son. In fact, his father cursed him that you're a foolish boy. He saw cursed him. Say you're a fool. But he knew that God had killed him. And when they were eating, you know, he said his seat was empty and he wasn't comfortable. How many of you, you know, do you know, I mean, we're trying our best to grow our church. The truth of the matter is that the church doesn't really, there are two ways a church can grow. Okay? I'll just tell you now. There are two ways a church can grow. The first one is if there's a lot of miracles and signs in the church, okay? You don't even need, we've got a lot of miracles here, you know, all kinds of miracles happening. By the end of this year, we'll be doing four services. Because People naturally seek for where miracles happen. Okay. The second way church grows is the love and the community and the work of the saints. Okay? So let's imagine, like we talked about Jonathan, right? He didn't see David on the seat and he was bothered and he goes out and look for David. Imagine you come to Bible study today and you don't see someone and you have that same desire. It's not like, you know, we're giving it to you as a task and say, hey, brother, this, you have to follow this person. Brother, that, follow up this person. But just that love that, oh, I didn't see my brother. Oh, this message was such a blessing and he was not in church. Not because you feel like the person should hear the message in the way like, ah, today they talk about your case. Ah, no, you would have been here. That's not the mind. So the mind said that, hey, the brother should be in church. Imagine if we do that for each other, it would be difficult for someone. It would be difficult for someone not to, you know, come to church and want to go back because they will know that they are loved. But if the person walks into church, whether he's in church or not, nobody cares. And even if they give you, say, hey, follow up this person, you just do it like I said, hello. Is that how I should call you? We did not see you. Okay. What happened? You are not well? Okay. I will tell them. Bye. I mean, an AI can do that, really. Okay. So, do you get what I'm trying to say? There is this love that Jonathan had for David that when he didn't see David at the table, he was bothered. So he went out and he said, well, I'll try to see if my father wants to kill you. I'm going to give you a sign. He says, and David loved Jonathan. Loved him as his own soul. That's the kind of love that we're talking about. The filial love. I remember when when Jonathan and Saul died, David cried. He cried. Okay? If it were today, Saul, Jonathan died. Testimony. Praise the Lord. God have said I should be on the throne. Saul said no. Jonathan tried, but I thank God. I didn't even do anything. Two of them died the same day. The same day, both of them died. You see, when you rejoice, when bad things happen to people, the state of your heart is dark. Because even without knowing God, you should feel terrible when people experience bad things. As a human being, I don't know if you get my point. Just a normal human being now, because some human beings are abnormal. But as a normal human being, you found out that someone has passed on. It should do something. It should not be a cause of celebration. But then, he cried. And he says, publish not. Publish it not. Ask your Lord. He wept over Saul. This was the same person that wanted to kill him. And we're not even talking about the agape kind of love yet. Do you understand? We've not even gone to the God kind of love. Some of our love will not even pass this natural Christian community love. It's not gotten there. That's why I'll tell you as a single person, marry someone who is kind. Just let the person as a human being be kind first. Don't go and marry a man who will lock you and your children outside and will not feel. And as people are begging him, he's fanning himself. He says, oh, now go talk tire today. As a human being, what do you get? Do you understand? And you know, and sometimes, you know, sometimes I just wonder that even if you were not a Christian, are you not kind? How do you live with someone you got married to going through terrible times, and you just feel because that person is in such a, has done such and such, the punishment is not enough. So before you burn, check the heart. Okay? So if you're single, go and listen to the message I taught. Intoxicating versus intelligent love. Before you get intoxicated, use your brain. And ask, is this person kind? We're just talking about the natural kind. Do you understand? Because some people are wicked. You let your children starve. You don't pay their school fees because of what their mother did. It's terrible. And some women too. Right? You do all kinds of things because of what the man did. And you know the explanation. You don't know if I tell you all the story. One of the prayers you must pray is that God leads you to the right person. It will solve 50% of your human problems. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, I said, are you hearing what I'm saying? All right. Because this love, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 10, honors one another above themselves. Which means that if this love is in operation, what should you do? I should honor you. You know, all those little things people do sometimes. You're going out with someone. You pull the chair for them to sit down. It's good. That's very perfect. Right? And I don't know, but it's beautiful. It's excellent. What I just want to know is that, will you be doing this for the rest of your life? And that's it. You know, that's the, you know, when sometimes people, I mean, young people, single people, those things are big to them. Before we went out, he opened the door. You know, he removed chair. You know, I don't have a problem. They are fantastic things. 30 years down the line, will the man be removing chair for you, or will just pray and say, cross, go? Say, my friend, go. do you understand? Because there is something about this is his life, as opposed to he's trying to impress you. So you want to find out. Because after a while, he will just enter the driver's door, lock the door, wind down. Bam, bam, bam. Where are you? I will drive and leave you. But 2 years ago, you were busy waiting. Oh, don't worry. I would open the door. Because if you don't have this thing on the inside of you, you can pretend. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know it's in your old age, you actually need the door open. And when the knees are beginning to... you have added weight and your steps are slower. Do you understand? That's when you actually need help with the door. It's not when you are young and with high heel, you can climb on top of the car. At that time, you are agile. I'm not saying people should not open doors for you, but I'm just saying that this thing has to be a lifestyle. Listen. Which is not that I'm opening the door because I want to get married to this girl, because I love this girl, but as a Christian, I honor others more than myself. So it's a lifestyle to me. So whether I want to get married to you or not, if I come into the space, do you understand that? I will just honor you. Can I make it a little bit easier for you to understand? It was like training children in those days and say, any adult you meet, greet them. It wasn't like, you don't greet me as your father. That was not the lesson. The lesson was not just greeting me as a father, right? It was rather a culture of what? Honor and respect. So that when you see any adult, whether the person was your father or not, what would you do? You'd respect them. It's the same thing I'm telling you. This kind of love is not a love for just who you want to get married to. It's the love that binds the Christian community together, that when I see my sister, I honor her, whether I'm going to get married to her or not. Do you understand? And if I live that way, when I get married, it will be easy. Because you know what? Marriage will just be a continuation of what? The love that I already have. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's very important. And that's why, you know, people say it, and it's all the time. Always watch how the people you work with treat others who are not as important as them. Okay? You walk into the restaurant. This person you want to get married, you know, to, I don't know why I'm talking about this a lot, but probably somebody needs help. And it's urgent. Right? This person you want to get married to buys this thing. The order was just messed up. Instead of moi moi or bean cake, they gave you meat pie. Then he starts shouting, I don't like that. You're saying, go my guy. They will know that, and you're happy. You see, let me tell you. A day will come, you would make mistake. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will not be the one doing go my guy. There'll be... Do you get what I'm saying? Because you know what? It's not how he is treating you that he is. His true color is the way he's treating that person. It's not you. Because for you, you can even break his head and he say, I like blood. I just like blood flowing out of my, oh wow, is this blood? Is red? Oh, hit it more. No problem. Because he wants to get married. Remember what we talked about? It's burning. But this person, the way he treats every other person around them except you, is their true nature. How he treats the driver. How he talks to the Bolt driver, the Uber driver. How he talks to... Do you understand what I'm saying? That's who he is. Do you realize how Jesus talked to people? Interestingly, the people Jesus called foxes and said woe to were what? The religious leaders and the rulers. But how did he talk to the woman at the well? How did he talk to the lepers? How did he talk? Do you understand that? If you even look at the life of Jesus carefully, because he exemplified the God kind of love when he met people in society that were lower than him in context, he spoke faith. He spoke encouragement. He affirmed them as the image of God. But what do? Right? We affirm the high and the mighty. And then when we come to the lower people, in quote, context, what do? Talk to them roughly. But that's not the Christian kind of love. That's not the filial love that should bound the Christian community together. We should honor ourselves. And it's simple. It starts with the birth service. Right? And you just say, let's confess scripture. Hebrews chapter 1 verse, 1 line. 1 verse, 1 line. Forever and ever. Amen. Front seat. I'm not saying don't sit in front seat today. Because when you now sit in front, you see, that's what pastor was saying. People that are, don't go and do that. But do you realize what this kind of love would do? What do you think? Find out. Do we have visitors in our midst? Do we have people with children in our midst? Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's what binds a Christian community together. It's not our sticker. I know some of us want to print, I am a member. No, I am a proud member of KDCC. That's not the concept. Jesus says, people will know you are my disciples if you do what? If you love one another, not if you buy sticker. And that's why you see that sometimes the things that should bound us in church brings problem because we don't honor one another. If we say, let's sow shit now, you will see trouble. Okay, I think we should wear red. No, I think we should wear sky blue. Everybody agrees for red. Sky blue people automatically have an association. Association of suggestion not accepted group. Say, let's see how red will appear that day. And then they take the picture and red is not fine. They will ensure that they share the picture everywhere. Say, see the picture. We were telling them, they did not listen. You see, what love does is that it upholds the vision more than personal preference. And can I tell you something? If you practice this in your marriage, you would have a good marriage. Because what that love will do is it will put the unity of the marriage more than each other's personal preference. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Is this helping you? Okay. All right. Paul and Timothy, that love was expressed. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 3. And Acts chapter 17, verse 14 to 15. Paul took Timothy as his son, as his spiritual son. We know that Timothy had a Greek father who was, of course, not a Christian, but the grandparents, the grandmother, the mother, and Timothy had the same faith. What did Paul do? Paul came in and took Timothy as a spiritual son and began to mentor and began to pour into his life. And let me tell you something. That is why today I absolutely believe that a minister of the gospel cannot have many spiritual sons. Because as the concept of father and son today is abused, right? So a spiritual father, who is a spiritual son? The one who can sow the most. The one who can give. No, I'm not saying you should honor your spiritual father. You should do all of that. It's very important biblical principle. But the very concept is this. In that father and son relationship or father and daughter relationship, what's happening is that the father is pouring into the daughter, pouring into the son. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they can stand. He's not charging them. I put something on Facebook and quite a number of people have reached me concerning it. Gold sons. You can give 100,000 every month, you're a gold son. Can give 50,000, you're a bronze son. Right? And the more you can pay. No. Do you see the process that Paul went with Timothy? The process. How to encourage him. Do not despise the gift that was in you. Don't despise your youth. Give him courage to pastor a church of over 20,000 members. When he had a stomach issue, Paul was there speaking to him. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Encouraging him, strengthening him in doctrine, giving him directions. What does that love do? It builds up. It builds. We've not even started talking about the agape kind of love. The basic kind of love Christians should practice and we should practice in this local church is the love that builds one another up. That's why in the local church, gossip has no business in the local church. Because if we love one another, we wouldn't gossip about one another. Rather, we will do what? Build one another up. And let me tell you, and take this from me, having pastored for over a decade. If you gossip with people, you are not their only gossip partner. Oh, you're not. Because gossipers thrive with constant information. So, when they don't have any information to give to you, they will take the one that you are. Because they have to walk. Until new news comes. So, build your life in such a way that your ears are not landing for stories. And let me tell you this. If you are a gossiper, you don't have a life. The scriptural word for you is what we call busybody. And the scriptural solution is mind your business. See, there is a lot to work on in your life. There is a lot, even if your life is perfect now, there is a lot to give to the world. And I see that people who talk about others a lot are really not busy. And most times they are jobless. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why if you go on that tree where they are playing drafts, the stories you will hear from that place. The stories. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A pastor that doesn't have substance, that has not studied the word of God, will have a lot of stories to tell. Why? Because there's no word inside him. So it's one story upon another, one story upon another. And because of a lot of stories and no study, he will be mixing the stories up. So that one story, when you hear it, the one he said in Abuja and the one he said in Kano, it will be different. Because maybe as he was telling the story in Abuja, they were dropping seed. He got emotional and forgot and added a lot of things that were not there. And Kano people didn't drop offering. So he gave them the subscription. Trial version. The love of God builds up. It honors one another. Brother Higgins said something. You know, I heard him say it and I read it in his book. And you know, once in a while, it pops up in my heart. He said he started practicing this God kind of love by, he said, when himself and Orita, the wife, wants to eat, he would give her the best part of the egg. How many of you think it's a good thing? You don't think so? It starts like that. If you are married, when you and your partner wants to eat, give them the best part of the meat. I know some of you are saying, thank God my wife is not in church and she will not listen to this message. Because, come on, what's the default? As the man of the house, you should have the best part. Nobody's against that. That's correct. But what are we talking about? How can we honor the other person more than us? Do you realize that as a church, if we make up our mind that we are going to honor each other more than ourselves, do you know if we walk into this place and everybody is looking for how to honor one another, we will build a massive community. It will just be massive. As a pastor, I'm not just looking after my own interest, right? I'm looking after your interest. I'm looking for how to be of a blessing to you. You are looking for how to be of a blessing to me. We're not just concerned about ourselves. What community are we going to build? You guess what is going to happen? People will want to join us. People will want to be part of it. And this is the love. All right? So let's go to agape, the God kind of love. All right? So we're just going to lay the foundation. And I'm trusting God. Because this God kind of love is interesting. The first thing you would observe about the God kind of love is that you cannot practice it by your human strength. You see, let me tell you, I made an example now, but start to practice it every day. It'll help you. Just honoring people. Just learning to do it. It'll bless you. It'll bless you. Agape is the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. This term defines God's immeasurable, incorporeal love for humankind. It's the divine love that comes from God. Now, let me show you something. You know, the Bible did not tell us that God has love. Do you know what the Bible tells us? He is what? He is love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. So God doesn't have it. That's who he is. 1 John 4 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. No, sorry, I'm reading verse 7, please. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. It comes from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Remember the love we're talking about right now. We're talking about the God kind of love, right? Or agape. See, everyone who loves knows God and is born of God. Verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. He is love. God doesn't have it. That's who he is. That's who he is. He's love. Then I like the next verse. It says, by this, the love of God was manifested or revealed in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Wow. How many of you, if you have one child? You have only one son. And then you have an enemy. And they say, the price for this enemy to be reconciled to you, for two of you to be friends, is for this your child to die. What's going to happen? Never. It's perfect. That's a very correct answer. You just say, forget it. But look at what the Bible says. It says the love of God was manifested. It was revealed. How was it revealed? Not through words. Revealed by actions. What was the action? Sent his only son to die for us. You see, and this is foundational because it is this understanding that can make us love others. If you're self-righteous, you'll not love people. Because you also forget that your sins have been paid for. Remember the story of the young man who was forgiven debts? Just say, I don't have, please forgive me. The master said, no problem. When you have, come and pay. Bible says he met another person who was in. So he held his neck. You hear what I'm saying? Put him in prison. Other people came to report. Oh boy. Sometimes the very things we've done and we've been forgiven, when others do it to us. This study is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it myself. Because you know this God kind of love? It's not just words. This is how the love of God was manifested. He sent his son. Sacrificial action. Okay. 1 John chapter 4. And go to verse 16. Okay. Let's read from verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If he so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Go to verse 16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. Everybody say, God is love. God is love. Say it one more time. Say, God is love. God is love. He says, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Love, the agape kind of love. If you abide in this love, then you abide in God. The God kind of love. This is interesting. So, Jesus Christ demonstrated this kind of divine love to his Father and to all humanity in the way he lived. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. How did he give his Son? Sacrificially. That's how he gave. That's why one of the proofs of giving, one of the proofs of love is given. You can't say you love and you don't give. Right? Let's go back to relationship again. Single. Singles mingle. Once you're going out with someone, what are you doing? Sending recharge cards. Doing all kinds of things. Buying perfume. Buying this one. Remembering birthday. Remembering all kinds of things. They're beautiful things. You see, but these things you should learn them. It's not after you've gotten married, after 2-3 years. And the last time you bought anything was when they harassed you. Love gives. Then you realize that if you're going out with someone and you love them, you kept giving, and immediately that relationship went sour. Some of you even go back and demand since you say you are not marrying again, that phone I bought for you, remove your SIM card. I'm sending my younger brother to come and collect it. Collect phone. And that's why, as a girl, let me tell you. I'll repeat it on Sunday again if I remember. As a girl, be careful of gifts. What's your love language? I just like to get things. If you can buy anything, be careful. Because if you meet the wicked one, if you don't accept their proposal, they will strip you naked. You will go back. You know, like Adam in the garden, you will look for fig trees. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I was teaching a women ministry in Kenya something, and maybe I'll take time to teach it. The Lord gives me liberty. Right? About the value of the Proverbs 31 woman. Do you realize that the Proverbs 31 woman did not just bring character value into marriage, she brought economic value. So just waiting that one day somebody will come and carry you from your father's house, you have lost a sense of dominion. I'm telling you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So as you are learning to cook, also learn to make money to go and buy the things you will cook. You are not just learning to cook so that somebody will be buying things for you to cook. You are not a chef. I know how to cook. Do you have food to cook? Do you understand? You don't just come into life and the two things you can offer. Okay. The God kind of love. Do you understand this? So you're bringing value. Economic value. And if that economic value is not in terms of even work, it should be in terms of wisdom. That, you know, a wise woman builds her house is not by decorating house and painting sticker and turning to an event manager. You know, I like lilac here, you mix it with flowers. That's not what we're talking about. So it means that, do you understand? It means that a suggestion from you prevents disaster in the house. So you are bringing mental value to that marriage. It's not that when your husband wants to discuss serious things, he can't talk with you. He gives you 2-3 things. Say, my own is not to be cracking my head. Go ask your friend. Anything you want to do it's just me and my children to have something to eat. Listen to me. You should be sent to school again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I can give you a scriptural example of it. Abigail. The husband made a rash decision. And the servant knew that the wife was wiser than the husband. You know, your house girl knows who has sense. That's the truth. Do you understand? They know. You just say, leave madam. If now madam, by this time, they will not pay your salary. That woman is not thinking. And you are just there with toothpick, crossing and watching TV. They know that apart from that toothpick and that remote, there is nothing else in terms of value. So, she intercepted. And see the wisdom of interception. She didn't come and say, you are a wicked man. You are a wicked man. You understand what I'm saying? You came to ask for food. My husband said he does not have. You want to kill us. Oh yeah, kill all of us. See, that aluta spirit, that fighting spirit. When it says a foolish woman destroys her home, that's what it's describing there. It's not flour. Right? She didn't come, like I said, I think somebody needs urgent help today. She didn't come with that. And see, if she had come with that, it could have been justified. Because after all, it's not your food. You ask for food. And she has said, you can kill all of us. God will judge you. Yes, God will judge him, but you people would have been dead while God was judging him. So he went to David and by wisdom appealed and averted that judgment. When David heard that the man has died, David said, if there is a woman who can prevent me from killing someone, get me that woman. That's how she now became. That's her former life. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? He now married a king. Because the first person he married was not fitting for a level of wisdom. That's kingship operation. I went to become married king. And if she was foolish, she would have died a widow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when we say a wise woman built her house, we're talking about the value you bring into the marriage has to be strong wisdom. And why am I saying this? Even though you are married now, don't just sit down and not build your capacity. See, my husband is not talking to me again. He wants to take decision. He will not talk to me. The last time they talked to you, what did you say? You're just saying, If it will work, let it work. If it will not work, let it work. I just know that anything that will be, will be. If you know anything that will be, will be. The next thing that I want to be, should we talk to you about it? Since you know everything that... Do you understand what I'm saying? So the agape kind of love, three things happen. Number one, it's between God and us. John 3:16, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39. Okay? So God brings that. All right. Then it is also between us and others. 1 John 3:16. The God kind of love, 1 John 3:16. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. Now, remember these two scriptures and don't ever forget them when we talk about the God kind of love. Remember John 3:16. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, whoever believes in him, all right, will not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Okay, 1 John 3:16. So, remember John 3:16. Okay, one is John 3:16. The next one is still John 3:16. But put one in front of it. First John. Okay. We know love by this. Look at it. We know love by this. This is how we know it. So it's not a feeling. Right? It's not just, you know, we've discussed all kinds of love now. We're talking about the agape kind of love. We know love by this. That he, talking about Jesus, laid down his life for us. What's the next verse? Everybody, let's read it. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoa. Whoa. Do you think that's serious? Hey. Do you realize the brethren here he's talking about is not your family members? This is tough, right? I mean, don't look around, but in your mind, look around and ask yourself, who in this church can I lay my life down for? You tell me, God forbid, but... Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, realize we've crossed the romantic love, right? We've crossed the storage love. We've crossed the brotherly love. We're talking about the highest kind of love. He says he laid down his life for us, so we ought to. What does the word we ought to mean? Huh? Do you think it's optional? Okay. Who's got the NIV version? NIV version, what does it say? We ought to. We ought to. That means it's a command. Right? We ought to. It says he laid down his life for us. So therefore, okay, let me have the NIV or the Amplified. It's interesting. Laying my life down for someone else. This is how we know what love is. Look at it. Jesus Christ. Remember, this is how we know. We're talking about the God kind of love. This is how we know how it is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. This is interesting. Wow. This is very interesting. Okay. Amplified version. Praise God. We're talking about the God kind of love. By this, we've come to know progressively, to recognize, to perceive, to understand. You know, theologians will say that Amplified is the female version of the Bible. Something you can say is just go on, go on, and go on, and go on. All right. So Amplified. The essential love, that he laid down his own life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for those who are our brothers in him. So it tells us who he's talking about here. Brothers in Christ. Wow. It's interesting. The Good News Translation. We ought to. It's a responsibility. So this is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us. We too then ought to give our lives for others. We ought to give our lives for others. Do you realize that if we... This is what he's talking about, practicing it in the church community. Right? Do you realize if we practice this in our homes, talking about our marriages, how it will be? To lay down your life for your wife? What does it mean? Lay down your rights, lay down your privileges, in an act of love? That's why you should hang around the word. Before people say, be a man, be a man. You have to be a man. You have to, and all they are telling you to be is a dictator and a terror. So when you come in, your children run. Your wife is serving you food, her hand is shaking. Do you know that there are mistakes your family will make? They will rather they die before you show up. Because they are coming like this, everybody. Including the mother. Everybody is lining up behind. When you see the way they are lined up, you just know that something has happened. And you too, according to the expectation, you manifest. Say, what has happened in this house? Then they start, tell me. Then everybody starts. They had already reported themselves. So immediately they are reporting to you, they are calling you. Somebody is calling you from the village. Say, take it easy. You know. Then you just off phone. Nobody's, and then you just manifest. Then you boldly say, I don't listen to anybody. It's what is in my mind that I will do. Even Jesus Christ says, I do it what I see it my father do. Jesus listened to somebody. You don't listen to anybody. Jesus, the Son of God, walked the earth. And he says, whatever I'm doing is what my father is doing. You that he created. Never marry someone who doesn't have someone over their life that can speak to them. If not, the day of trouble is only you and God. That's when that scripture will make meaning to you. Is any afflicted, let him pray. The other part of let him call for the elders of the church does not apply to you because the man does not respect elders. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So in courtship, when he's saying, nobody can talk to me, I just make up my own mind, don't be going and say, I like men like you. I like men who are just themselves. Don't worry. Do you understand? Okay. New Living Translation. All right? So, this love is sacrificial. The very foundation of the God kind of love is, doesn't think about you, thinks about others. And you know, that's not what society is teaching us right now. What society is teaching us right now? Self. Self. And you know what is happening? It's impacting us even in our marriages. Because you know what? Everybody in the marriage, you know how we're treating marriage right now? It's a box. If I come in, I look after myself. If it's not fitting, I go out. The man is also called. Everybody is just looking for who will give them the platform of to look after yourself. Do you know what will happen if, as a man, you listen to this message today and you choose that I'm going to represent agape love to my family, to my kids, to my wife? Right? You know, there are some men that would carry the child, carry their own children, and they would do it like they are helping the woman. You know, it's like, I'm helping you to carry this child. You are not even happy. Are you joking? You see, let me tell you something. If you say that, they should change the child's name. You should be bearing the woman's name. Yeah. And you know, sometimes in church, we don't talk about these things. And that's why sometimes we have conflict in our marriages in church, because we pretend a lot. How can you carry your own child and you say you are helping your wife? You're not helping. It's your child. Her back was not designed in a special way to hold children. And then your own back was designed straight to repel children. Yeah. Because if you think of sacrifice, if you think of what we're talking about now, that thought will not even cross your mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, are you following what I'm saying? It means that you're looking at your brother, how can I help this person? You're looking at your sister, how can I help this person? Imagine all of us tonight came into this church with that mindset. You're even joining a church, not by what to collect. Because that's not agape love, that's parasitic love. You come to the church and like, how can I help this church? You're not just looking about, what can I get? And as a pastor, I come in here, how can I help my people get better? You know, and I'm studying and I'm praying and I'm fasting and I'm looking for ways to teach. I'm not just looking for ways to get money out of your pocket. If we all live by the sacrificial love of God, we will build a community that people will want to be part of. Right? You're coming to church, you see a young lady or lady, you know, struggling with the kids, and you just go out and say, oh, can I help you or something? And you're not just doing it in church. Okay? That's become your life. Look at this. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. This is real love. Okay? So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Give it up. The Bible says he that seeks to preserve his life will lose it. You know, that's why before it was not a big deal to me. Okay? But now it's a big deal to me. That if anybody is going to be at the helm of leadership in our church or workers and all of that, they have to be Titus. You know why? Because if you can't give up 10% of your income for the building of the church and the local church, you don't love the church. I mean, this is not a question of is there cause, is there Old Testament, is there New Testament. It's not the light you are using. Is the light New Testament? Is this AC Old Testament? Do you understand? It's just basic love. Because the Bible tells me, and I'm beginning to trust the words of Jesus, that where a man's heart is, what's going to happen? Come on, tell me. His treasure will be there. So if I don't find your treasure, I don't care what you say. Your heart is not there. Because if your heart is there, what's going to happen? You will put your treasure there. This, I'm not saying Old Testament, New Testament, will you cause? Will I not cause? I'm just saying, how can I see your heart? Because if you cannot lay 10% of your income into the church, then you don't love it. Like I said, it wasn't a big deal to me before, but it's a big deal to me now. Because I believe Jesus more than you. Right? I said I believe Jesus more than you. Say amen. Amen. Yeah. What about if, as a family, we choose to lay our lives down for one another? Children choose to do it for the father, for the parents, right? Will it change how we approach our work at home? Yeah. Imagine everybody getting up, trying to sacrifice for the other person. It will be just amazing how we live. So, this series is going to be amazing. Okay? Because it's going to shake all of us to the foundation. Right? We must allow this series work in our heart. It's going to be very practical, but we must allow it work in our heart. Because you know what's going to happen? As we start studying the God kind of love, God is going to be confronting things in our heart. And open up to it. Don't say, it will work in the Bible. But today, forget it. That's where you start watering down God's word. We will make up our mind that we want to walk in the God kind of love. Is it easy? No, that's why the grace of God is here. Glory to God. That's why the grace of God is here. To walk in the God kind of love. All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So go back home, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay? So look at this, right? 1 Corinthians 13 defines this love. So we're going to study that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it defines it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We open our heart, Father God, for instruction, correction, rebuke, reproof, and doctrine. And we ask that you cause these words to be engraved in our hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga. We encourage you to share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.pastormax.ng. We would like to hear from you. Send us an email, info@pastormax.ng, or you can call 0805-888-7575. God bless you.